We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on, it's Saturday, and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome into the Annie Fry Show. Good to be with you. Good to be back. Happy Tuesday. Feels like Monday. I think tomorrow will probably feel like Friday, and then I'll be disappointed on Thursday.
And then it all starts over again.
Is that the way the week goes? For the record, just to make sure that I felt back in the chair and just like nothing has changed, played a nice clip for you coming out of that segment, and it's just sitting there. So it's Bill Maher's going to creep in on me here any second now. So, okay, a couple of things while we wait for that to do something or not do anything. Blues game tomorrow. Tony was just talking about this in the news report. The St. Louis Cardinals are opening up Busch Stadium for
a
second one.
A lot of this far left.
You know what? You just go sit in the corner
go
right
away.
Now. You just sit over there and think about what you've done. It's not his fault. The Cardinals are having a watch party for Game 7. I was saying all Sunday that the Cardinals should have had a watch party for Game 6. And I say this because I was downtown for Game 6. I was at the watch party, and holy smoke, St. Louis. That was the anticipation far outweighed the outcome of the game, obviously. But the place was looking to erupt, and nothing ever really happened.
Your Facebook Live of being here at the building and then shifting the camera towards what you were seeing out of the window, I was in awe.
I know.
I'm like, what?
So I saw this is kind of funny because the program director for KZK and Y98 made some like old-fashioned sheet signs that said play Gloria Y98 and something like go Blues KZK whatever. And one of them was at the end of our hallway. I'm walking down. I'm like, what is flapping on the other side of the window? And as I got closer, I could tell that it had said Gloria or something, but I couldn't see out the window. And so I just thought, oh, I wonder, is this out right out here? Because in my mind, I was always thinking that Market Street, like the street itself, would be what was blocked off and that there'd be people milling about around. Oh, no. Soldiers Memorial, it's on Tucker. It's right here downtown. It's close. If you've ever been to the Stiefel Theater, it's right outside of that, real close to the arena. And it was packed to the brim of people by the time puck drop. But when I walked up and I just like slowly walked up and my eyes just got like as big as I'm like immediately thinking, do I really want to do that? I'm not really good in crowds. I'm not really good around a lot of people. And apparently y'all were all there. And it was a cool experience. And if you go to 971talk.com/Annie right now, you can see I put together a video from my experience down there. My husband and I went down there, and we are just two mid-30s, three kids at home, regular Joes and Janes in a crowd full of people waiting to win a Stanley Cup. So we're just like walking around like, all right, excuse me, oh, sorry.
Was everyone standing up or
yes!
were people
No, for literally down? For the entire Game 6, we stood in the same spot. We had probably 4 square feet that we mill about in just by shifting to like see there's a screen to the left and there's a screen to the right. And if in front of you to the left, somebody got in your view, you shifted so you could see the screen on your right. And then when someone shifted there, you moved to the screen on your left. We stood for period one, for intermission one, for period two, for intermission two, and for period three.
My gosh.
The whole time in the same spot.
Nuts.
Now, I was asked just before the show started, was it worth it? It was absolutely worth it. Because had we been down there, and if they would have won, it would have been crazy fun. It would have been crazy fun. And I was really close to my car in case I needed to leave.
Run!
Which if you also follow the Facebook page, did you see the Facebook Live? I haven't talked to you about the Facebook Live in the parking garage.
No.
No?
I didn't see that.
We got back into the parking garage after we left, and we left like midway through the third period because I needed to go into the radio station and get some stuff done and get out of here. And we sat in the parking garage, parked on the third floor. There are 6 floors of the parking garage. Sat on the third floor for over an hour. Not moving.
Oh my gosh.
It was a nightmare.
Anxiety to the max.
Which is why I went on Facebook Live. Because I was
I
like,
watch that.
I actually said to my husband at one time, I'm just going to walk down there and see what's going on. And he goes, and then what? And I'm like, that's a fair point. I'm going to start taking tickets. Like, it got to the point where people were getting back to their cars, people had a few drinks, people were honking, people were yelling, and it was, and then, like, 15 minutes after that, somebody in a Mustang convertible that was right behind us cranked up Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, and everything calmed down.
Everyone's like, all right, we get it.
You know what? Good point. Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. So that was stressful. So like the Facebook page and you will get to see those things when they go live. And game 7 tomorrow night, I don't know for sure what I'm doing for that, but you're going to want to make sure you're connected to the Facebook page if you want to take in whatever kind of festivities are or are not happening. Mm-hmm. So let's get back to Bill Maher here because this is interesting. There's been news over the weekend that is developed with the Mexico tariffs. I'm pretty sure Tim Jones probably talked to you about that yesterday. But when you consider the fact that President Trump put this out there, this conversation out there about putting tariffs on Mexico to get some cooperation with the Mexican government to try to curtail as much of the illegal immigration that they can control within their own country and pushing them into the point where they need to really come to the table and help. He did that. He successfully put that out there at the risk of putting tariffs on goods that would have harmed both the United States and Mexico. But knowing that this is something that would push them into a conversation that would potentially make the situation much better. So as far as I understand it, we are awaiting the Mexican legislature to approve all of this, but he said he doesn't think there will be any issue there. This is another example of the president being willing to go out and do something to get something done, even in the midst of a media that is going to slam him if he does something really well or if he does something really poorly. He's going to get the same reaction from this media every single time. So a couple of interesting clips here from Bill Maher.
Do you think he's winning?
Yes. And I'm sick of winning. He's right. I got sick of winning. His winning.
Bill Maher with Chris Cuomo talking about how President Trump is succeeding. He is winning. And a lot of people will take that President Trump narrative about how he wins, but it's how he wins. He wins through dividing people and spreading hate. It's kind of starting to fall apart because his policies and his efforts that he's making towards, I'll just say making America great, because the again part of the MAGA slogan is where everybody just infers that he's automatically talking about, let's go back to like pre-mid 19th century. Let's do that. That's when it was great. No, it's ridiculous.
I think a lot of times he's just owning the libs. That is what what Republicans do in this era. More than any policy, they want to make liberals cry.
Don't spit your coffee on the board. You'll get in trouble for that. Probably.
They want to make liberals cry. What?
We've heard so many, it's in the abortion conversation that has been taking place on a grand scale lately. People will often say, you know, because of the passage of the bill in Georgia, and people talk about Louisiana, and people talk about Missouri. Let's talk about what happened before those bills. Let's talk about New York. And let's talk about what Illinois has had in the works for quite some time, and the way the Illinois abortion, like massive access to abortion bill got through was by making it an amendment on a mental health bill. When they were originally discussing the Reproductive Health Care Act, there was massive blowback against it. Pro-life protesters flooded the state capitol building to the point where they couldn't let anybody else in. That's how much support for pro-life policies existed in Springfield, Illinois. And so what they did is they backdoored it as an amendment on a different bill, Senate Bill 25. Shameful, but they knew that already. Bill Maher goes on to talk about what could possibly be hurting the progressive cause.
I think a lot of this far-left political correctness is a cancer on progressivism. I think when you talk to Trump supporters, they are not blind to his myriad flaws, but one thing they always say is he's not politically correct. I don't think you can overestimate how much people have been choking on political correctness and hate it.
So accurate, Bill Maher. Write that one down.
Mm-hmm.
1219. Political correctness in our country, I think we're on the back end of the arc of the value that we are putting on political correctness, because political correctness is supposed to just, I think the initial foray into pushing political correctivism on our country and the way we communicate with one another was supposed to make us more aware of our words and make us more sensitive to the differences that exist among all of us. That's not a bad thing. And I know that people will be like, don't defend being politically correct. No, I'm defending being kind.
Yes.
Always be kind. Because if you're going to use the R word in language to make fun of somebody for doing something that you think is, you know, mimicking some sort of disabled person or whatever, it is insensitive to use the R word in that sense when that word is something that is used medically to describe a condition that people are born into or a condition that people have experienced due to some sort of incident in their life. That's not a bad thing to not use the R word in language to make fun of people. And there are many other things that exist in that. However, that's an effort made to prop up human decency and kindness. Then you move it further into the direction of where it's weaponized to make sure that nobody gets to say anything at any time. And the intentions, if somebody goes, thinks that something is quote unquote stupid and they say that's, and then they use the R word, that is poorly intended. That is something that can be easily pointed out as ignorant on that person's part for using language that might be hurtful to other people because of a condition that they're in that they can't help. That's different than somebody trying to explain something. You know, I go back to the Fox 2 anchor who said with the MLK conversation.
Oh, yes.
Like
yeah.
That, mm-hmm.
Steincross.
Yes, that you can't even come out and have a conversation about how it's possible that it's even in the realm of possibility that he is not a hateful, bigoted person. And according to our media contacts that we have here since we are in the media, he seems to be a wonderfully upstanding guy. Mm-hmm. That narrative applies nothing to him. But in the world of political correctedness, it's an opportunity to use being PC as a weapon against somebody else to get some gain. So, of course, we get into the point where, you know, we're talking about identity politics. We're talking about making telling people that they need to have equal access to opportunity. And they're using it on the left side of the aisle as an avenue to try to guarantee equal outcome, which is never possible. Never possible. So interesting conversation there from Bill Maher with Chris Cuomo, basically saying this.
Do you think he's winning?
Yes. And I'm sick of winning. He's right. I got sick of winning. His winning.
Yeah. There it is. From the words of Bill Maher's mouth to your ears. Pretty shocking. Let's take a quick break. Highlights when we return. Hans von Spakovsky is going to join us at 12:40 to talk to us about this. You've heard about the subpoenas. Gerald Nadler made a deal with the DOJ to get some information. What does this all mean? What is this all about? Hans is going to separate it all and organize it for us in a fashion with which even I can understand. So we're going to speak with Hans von Spakovsky at 12:40 from the Heritage Foundation. Also, Mark Cox at 125. And we're going to speak with Thrive. Very excited to speak with Thrive Nation President and CEO Bridget Van Means at 140. Stick with us. A lot coming up. So glad to be back. Go follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Back in a second.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Would you be personally insulted if she doesn't show up? Would you be insulted?
No, I'm never insulted. I've learned not to be insulted.
That's probably good.
Thick skin.
I mean, if you took things personally and you were Donald Trump, you can't be Donald Trump and take things personally. Mm-mm. He is who he is. I mean, the reason why we love him is because he wakes up every day with the same fight in him that he went to bed with the night before. And if you put the personal attacks that he is facing on a daily basis in front of, you know, his resolve, then he's not Donald Trump. He makes us laugh. I mean,
I'm never insulted.
Never insulted. I've learned not to be insulted. All right, let's get to the highlights.
Now, let's get to the highlights.
Your girl.
Which
AOC.
One? Oh. Oh.
That's right.
I forgot she was my girl.
Yeah. Wants a raise.
Oh, no.
Perfect.
New York Democrat Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez today voiced support for Congress members receiving raises for the first time since 2009 as a means to prevent them from having a reason to keep dark money loopholes open. Said that, you know, that's why Congress people, they don't make enough, so they...
What do you mean they don't make enough?
They're able to...
What are they trying to do?
They keep these dark money loopholes open in all the laws that they pass, and then that way they make more money. But if you just give them raises, they wouldn't need to do that. And she says in a tweet, yep. Voting against cost of living increases for members of Congress may sound nice, but doing so only increases pressure on them to keep dark money loopholes open. This makes campaign finance reform harder. All workers and caps deserve cost of living increases, including minimum wage workers. She went on to say that the raise she's asking for, which is a $4,500 annual raise, is, quote, not even like a raise.
Quote.
What the heck is it then?
Not even like a raise. So she wants a raise because
it's going to feel like a tax burden on the American people.
She wants a raise. She says Congress should get a raise because if they made more money, they wouldn't keep these dark hole loopholes. These dark
$4,500 a year is going to change that.
However, she's admitting that it's not even really much of a raise. So why would that do what she says? And she goes on to say that everybody deserves cost of living raises. Everybody, no matter who you are.
Cost of living is supposed to be tied to inflation. And if
that
if
doesn't
there
sound like... Does that mean the billionaires deserve a cost of... She says everybody.
Well, they're not real people.
The average salary for senators and representatives is $174,000.
Barf.
I looked up a Wall Street Journal little calculator that they have. It's from 2015, so it's a few years old. But In 2015, if you made $174,000, whatever it was, $1,000 that the average senator or congressperson makes, $174,000, that would make them in the top 3% of United States.
The three percenters.
They're three percenters. But she still says that she needs a raise.
Yeah.
Socialist that wants to tax everybody 90%.
And what is she producing? Nothing. Absolutely
this is
nothing.
It's very confusing. There's a lot of contradictions in her message.
I'm going to step in here, Frank, real quick. DOG casts a wide net and probe of surveillance abuses in Russia investigation as part of its ongoing multifaceted and broad review into potential misconduct by the United States intelligence agencies during the 2016 campaign. The Justice Department revealed Monday that it's also investigating the activities of several, quote, non-governmental organizations and individuals, end quote. In addition, the DOJ announced that the probe led by Connecticut U.S. Attorney John Durham was looking into the involvement of, quote, foreign intelligence services, end quote. And we are going to speak with Hans von Spakovsky here at 1240 to find out more about what that means and for whom.
Remember the Build-A-Bear Pay Your Age event last year that turned into a debacle?
Yes, I do.
It's chaos at mall locations across the country. Well, it's coming back later this month.
Sounds great.
Build-A-Bear is tweaking it quite a bit. Instead of coming on a first-come, first-served basis at store locations, there will be a limit of 200,000 nationally. Parents must become members of Build-A-Bear's bonus club and register by midnight on June 16th. Winners will receive a ticket from Build-A-Bear for a three-day window later on in June, so you can come in and pick up the two bears at a time and
nobody,
pay your age.
Nobody shows up with hopes of. If you show up, you're in.
If you show up, you will have printed out a ticket or on your phone or however they're going to handle it.
I'm going to sell my ticket.
And you'll be able to get your tickets. Actually, no, they're tied to you and your
and my identity.
And your identity, and you get two bears, but you got to pay your age.
Oh my gosh, I used to love Build-A-Bear. My mom and dad were like, it's too expensive. You ain't getting one.
Isn't Build-A-Bear a St. Louis company?
They are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yay, Build-A-Bear. Love, love, love. We've got several of them in our house, and they're adorable.
So fun. Big tech and its practices will be under a bipartisan microscope as the House Judiciary Committee will launch its investigation into the market dominance of Silicon Valley's biggest names today. It will begin with a look at the impact of tech giants' platforms on news content, the media, and the spread of misinformation online. The House Judiciary Committee's investigation of tech market power stands out because it's bipartisan and the first view by Congress of industry that dominated with little interference from federal regulators.
In sports, as we eagerly await Game 7 tomorrow night at Boston, after 7 o'clock, the Cardinals knocked off the Marlins in South Florida 4-1 last night. Marcelo Ozuna scored two runs in his return to his former home stadium. Michael Wacha pitched six scoreless innings. Cardinals ended a three-game losing streak. The same two teams tonight just after 6 o'clock. It's apparently Friends and Family Week down there. Just over 6,500 fans in the stands, about 30,000 fewer than capacity at Marlins Stadium.
Not good.
On the hardwood, Kevin Durant made his return to the court for the Warriors and suffered an Achilles injury late in the second quarter as the Warriors outlasted the Raptors 106-105, forcing a Game 6 Thursday night. Toronto leads that series 3-2. Ledoux native Becky Sauerbrunn and the U.S. women's soccer team hit the pitch this afternoon for their first game in pool play in the Women's World Cup in France. They open with Thailand at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, go Blues.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to the anticipation. Tony, are you going to stick by your 5-minute rule?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, this game is the definition of why.
We need to have a Tony cam. We need to strap him down to a chair and just put him right in front of a television.
What's happening with Tony?
I'm always aware of what's happening. I'm always aware of the score and what's going on. I just don't sit and
just don't watch it.
Frank, what are you?
No fun.
How are you going to take in Game 7?
At home. Yeah.
Holding the baby.
At times.
Is there?
He's tough to pry away from Katie.
Well, that's fine.
Not you, Katie. My Katie.
Yeah.
And me, I'm coming over and I'm like, give me Felix.
I have a Katie too.
Are you a calm sports watcher at home?
Yes, too many years of watching from press boxes and booths have turned me into a lot quieter than I used to be.
Will it be any different for Game 7?
No, I mean, when we had the overtime winner last series.
Did you get up and do any happy dances or anything?
There was celebrating, there was high-fiving, that sort of thing, but nothing crazy, nothing.
Have you had the opportunity since how old now? Is Felix?
It'll be a month this week.
Month this week. when you're holding a sleeping baby and you need, you like want to cheer and you're like, yeah.
Oh, that's not holding me back. That's not holding
you
me back.
You need to wake that kid up for the Stanley Cup Game 7, you know, and Tony. But yeah, it's kind of funny how...
I would much
how,
rather him sleep at night than sure. during the day. So
wake up!
I'm going to wake him up.
Yeah. No, I get it. There will be times in your life where you have just like, you realize everything has changed once again, because it's a constant reminder. I mean, it still happens to me on a regular basis. You're like, well, that's not the way it used to be, but it's fun.
It's different.
It's somehow better. It's crazy. All right. Well, we're going to continue to cover the events that are unfolding here in St. Louis. We'll talk a little bit more later in the show about that party at the watch party at Busch Stadium. And coming up next, we have Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation. He's going to talk to us about the subpoenas that had been sent and the information that they're getting with that deal with the Justice Department, and what's going on here. What does this mean? And who is going to be on the hook or off the hook because of it? Hans is going to break it down for us in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Bottom line is what the House is doing is politically motivated, trying to destroy the Trump presidency. And I can assure you that we're done with the Mueller investigation in the Senate. They can talk to John Dean until the cows come home. We're not doing anything in the Senate regarding the Mueller report, but we're going to try to harden our infrastructure to protect it against 2020 interference. Well, everybody.
So we are hearing there from Lindsey Graham in regards to that interview that was done with John Dean. John Dean had said, he's the former White House counsel to Richard Nixon, said that there are remarkable parallels to Watergate. That was one of the comments that he made. And to clear this up for us and kind of set us on the path of good, reliable information, Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation joins us. Hans, thanks for coming back on the show.
Sure, thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. So what do we make of the deal that has been made with Gerald Nadler and the DOJ, and then also this testimony here with John Dean and his remarkable parallel comment about Watergate?
Well, I had to laugh at the idea the Democrats brought John Dean forward, because if you look at his history, as a CNN commentator and with the books he's written, he's basically made that exact same claim that Republican presidents should be impeached for their behavior with almost every Republican president since Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., and now Trump. He has made that claim over and over and over again, and has made actually quite a bit of money with his book. So why anybody would take him seriously, somebody who is a felon, who served time in jail, and was disbarred as a lawyer? I mean, it's a joke that they would bring him in and think that he has anything serious to say. The one thing I think he's right about, but from the wrong angle, is the parallel to Nixon. The parallel is that folks working for Richard Nixon, as you know, broke into the DNC headquarters in order to plant eavesdropping equipment so they could listen to him. Here we have a situation where rather than having people break in, the Obama White House and its Justice Department used official government agencies, the FBI, our intelligence agencies, to do the same thing, to go electronically eavesdrop and spy on the Trump campaign. That's the parallel.
So we find out that Nadler is going to hold off on his pursuit of trying to get Bill Barr in contempt and working on this deal with the Justice Department. What was the trade there, and what's the benefit to each side?
Well, look, the Justice Department, has already given Nadler literally thousands of pages of documents and information. they want even more. The committee wants even more. They want the actual internal written documents, the notes of the FBI agents, the analysts, all the people who worked for Mueller, because obviously they don't trust Mueller's judgment when it comes to him having concluded there wasn't any evidence of any Russian collusion. So it's like they want to dig through all of his internal files as if they are not a congressional committee, but a second Justice Department that gets another bite at the apple, which is not the way our constitutional system works.
Well, when Robert Mueller made his statement a week or so ago, he said it basically seemed like he was trying to hand it off to Congress. And he said that you know, he did what he did in his Mueller report. Anything that he would say in front or during congressional testimony would also have already been included in his report. So no need for him to actually do that. And he kind of handed the ball off to Congress to take it from there. If we pay attention to Nadler and their investigation into the Mueller report, their questioning of his, I guess, credibility, what can amount from the information that they're trying to access here, that they are being given in this deal with the Justice Department, to take them further into the realm of impeachment? Because it seems as though they're kind of grasping at straws at this point.
No, I think they are grasping at straws. I don't think they're going to turn up anything in those notes and internal documents. Believe me, if there had been anything in that, it would have been in Mueller's report. You know, he and his lawyers who worked for him, all his Democratic donors, they would have put it in the Mueller report. So the idea that they're going to find some smoking gun that wasn't mentioned in the actual working documents of the special counsel office is they're just whistling by the graveyard if they think that's going to happen. I think part of the reason for threatening the Attorney General with contempt is that I think they're trying to distract the American people by making them think that there was some kind of cover-up, that there actually was wrongdoing here, but that it just hasn't been revealed yet. And again, that's if there had been anything like that, it would have been in the Mueller report.
Yeah, for sure. I want you to listen to some of Nancy Pelosi's remarks.
I think it's the Mueller report very clearly spells out at least 10 or 11 instances of obstruction of justice. But I'm not here to have that discussion here. That's for the committees. We have six committees that work on this. One doing taxes, Ways and Means Committee, Maxine Waters, Financial Services, Jerry Nadler, Judiciary, Elijah Cummings, the Government Oversight Committee, Elliot Engel, Foreign Affairs Committee. They're all doing their work very well, and I believe in the committee system, and it will bubble up from there.
At least 10 or 11 instances of obstruction of justice, according to Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah, well, she, as usual, doesn't know what she's talking about. There's a couple things to keep in mind there. There was no obstruction of justice. How do we know that? Because Bob Mueller wasn't obstructed. His investigation, that of all the people working for him, was in no way limited or restricted. Second, there wasn't anything to obstruct. There was no underlying crime. Bob Mueller conclusively said that in his report. Yeah, there was a lot of venting by the president. That's very clear when you read volume two. But venting and being angry that you're being investigated when you know you're innocent and you know that you haven't committed a crime, which is the position the president was in, I think it's a very long stretch to take that and to pull that into and say that was obstruction of justice. You cannot, to prove obstruction of justice, you have to prove that someone had a corrupt motive, that they are trying to cover something up. And here, the president didn't have a corrupt motive. He was trying to, he said he would like to have this investigation stopped. Why? Because he thought it was a waste of time, it was interfering with his ability to carry out his duties, and because he knew, as Bob Mueller finally concluded, there was no Russian collusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that when I look back pre Mueller report, and I remember how important it was for the agenda driven media pundits, for the politicians who were campaigning on, especially going into 2018, the impact that the Mueller investigation had on elections across the country potentially is a real thing. And it wasn't so much the evidence that was leading us into some sort of proof of collusion, but it was just the idea that it could exist that was so valuable to so many people on the left. And now that that's been put to rest, and we know that the president didn't do that, now that's shifted into the obstruction case, where it's more about saying, well, obstruction did occur, and we will show it to you when we have the words on paper that prove that it happened. But you need to know, the American people need to know that obstruction did exist. To me, that's very political, and it's very disingenuous to the American people, the voters, who are just trying to get some straight information here. It's pretty hard as an American citizen who is just looking to vote their conscience and vote in good faith when you realize that it's valuable to a political party to just keep the idea alive, even though the structure behind that idea is not solid. I think they've kind of moved into that now with the obstruction, because the collusion part, it just doesn't exist anymore.
No, I think you've analyzed that exactly right. But I also think the average person looking at that and this claim that, oh, there was obstruction, I think, as like I said, they're going to look at it and say, well, didn't Bob Mueller investigate for 2 years, spend $30 million, and just issue a report? How was he obstructed in his investigation?
Yeah. Well, Hans, we are looking forward to welcome you to St. Louis with Mark Cox Thursday, June 20th. And people can go to 971talk.com/events right now to reserve their free tickets to that. You and J.J. Carafano, Mark Cox, always a great opportunity to hear you speak. And we thank you for being here today.
Sure thing, and I look forward to coming.
Yep, absolutely. We'll talk to you soon. That's Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org, at H. von Spakovsky on Twitter. Enjoy spelling Spakovsky. It's exactly how you would expect it to be spelled. There's a V.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Spakovsky. V-ski. When I was doing my Saturday show and I had him on for the first time, I had to, like, say his name 50 times.
Yeah.
And then I went on air and I blew it.
It's a very elaborate name.
Yeah. But it fits. He knows what he's talking about. So get your tickets for that Mark Cox event happening Thursday, June 20th at the Scheidegger Center, J. Scheidegger Center. 971talk.com/events. And we'll talk to Mark Cox at 125. Back in a second.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.